Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, it is my great honor to bring a report to the Southern Baptist Convention from your first seminary, established in 1859, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. We are so honored as we anticipate celebrating the 150th anniversary of our institution's service to the Southern Baptist Convention, that anniversary coming in just 2 years. We look forward to welcoming you to Louisville for that celebration as the convention will be meeting in our city at that time. I'd like to bring you a brief report about what's happening on the campus of Southern Seminary. We are very, very thankful for the Lord's blessing, and we are thankful for the support of this convention in bringing about a renaissance within your mother seminary, back to the point that we now stand without question upon the faith once for all delivered to the saints, upon the inerrancy of Scripture, and upon all the great truths that this convention cherishes and holds dear. We are very, very thankful that the Lord has blessed what has taken place on the campus of Southern Seminary such that we are now experiencing a record enrollment. We will have over 4,400 students enrolled at Southern Seminary this year. One particular point I would bring to your attention as a matter of our denominational pride. Our main concern as a seminary, we do many things and we do them all on behalf of our churches to a standard of excellence. But the one central thing is the training of pastors. The degree program most specifically designed for the training of pastors is, of course, the Master of Divinity program. And there are now more young men studying at Southern Seminary in the Master of Divinity program than anywhere, in any place, at any time in the history of the Christian church. That is a matter of tremendous pride and thanksgiving for Southern Seminary. There were other issues that I had intended to report, but given the conversation of this convention and even the last couple of days, I am going to change my remarks and shift to speak specifically to the hiring of a seminary professor. Nothing is more important in terms of what you have entrusted to your seminaries, to the presidents of your seminaries, and to the trustees and boards of your seminaries than the hiring of seminary professors. In Jude 3, we are told that our responsibility is to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That is the stewardship of a seminary professor. It is shared by every Christian. It is especially assigned to every pastor. But for those who will train the pastors, they hold the most crucial stewardship of all in contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude makes that point clear. In James chapter 3, we are told that those who teach will face a stricter judgment. And we know that that is as it should be. For those who teach bear the responsibility of the stewardship of that calling. They are those who will bear a judgment for what is taught, if it be right or if it be wrong, if it be orthodox or if it be heterodox, if it be truth or if it be heresy. And this denomination knows that that is a crucial difference. A difference that matters to eternity. A difference that matters to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pillar and the ground of truth, and a difference that matters to a holy God who is the God of truth. Our denomination has adopted a confession of faith known as the Baptist Faith and Message. Adopted it in the midst of controversy in 1925, revised it in the midst of controversy in 1963, and revised it once again in the year 2000. It was roughly 37 years between the adoption and its first revision, and between that revision and its latest revision. It seems that Southern Baptists are learning that in every generation there are new challenges, there are new assaults upon truth, there are new questions that must be answered, and by a doctrinal consensus among us that is binding upon us, especially upon those who will teach, that is the seminary professor. In 1859, when Southern Seminary was established as a part of the charter and fundamental laws of the institution, not by accident but by design, there was included the abstract of principles, which is the confession of faith that was first adopted by your mother seminary and affirmed by this convention when it brought the seminary into its life in the early 20th century. In adopting that charter and fundamental laws, it adopted the abstract of principles. That has been done again and again and again through charter revisions for numerous causes. causes, even in recent years, this convention has affirmed that by your official action. It is because you take seriously the fact that those who will teach your preachers, those who will teach the seminary students, who will be the pastors, teachers, and missionaries of the future, must be grounded in truth and must be accountable to God's truth by confessional accountability. Dr. James Pettigrew Boyce, the founder of Southern Seminary, in establishing the rules and regulations of the institution, even before it had been established, said, "But for the one who will teach, he must sign the confession of faith without hesitation and without mental reservation." Brothers and sisters, we can demand no less in this day, without hesitation and without mental reservation. We do not allow faculty members to sign a confession of faith with a codicil. We do not allow any private agreement. Dr. Boyce was emphatic about this. He says, no agreement, private or public, is allowable between the professor and those who invest him in office. And that is as it must be. Last night, the Southern Baptist Convention affirmed the Baptist faith and message. And for those of us who believe in the importance of Baptist confessionalism, we affirm the responsibility of this convention to affirm the Baptist faith and message. Last night, this convention voted that the institutions and entities of the Southern Baptist Convention should be guided by the Baptist faith and message in all that we do, and especially in those issues related to hiring and policies. We gladly received that advisement. When it came before the executive committee as a matter of their referral to the Southern Baptist Convention, in response to that referral, I spoke in the affirmative, because even as one who was a part of the committee that proposed to this convention the revised Baptist faith and message in 2000, I understand the necessity of this convention coming back again and again and again to affirm those things that are most precious among us. I want to go further and tell you that in the hiring of a seminary professor, you do not want to ask those questions that will mean that we will hire those who merely meet the most basic requirements. If you're going to hire a seminary professor, you want the one who most comprehensively embraces the truth taught by the Scripture and embraced by this denomination. You want to hire those who are most equipped, most qualified, and in the deepest level of their conviction, with the marrow of their bones, absolutely agree with those truths that are cherished among us. That means that you would expect and you should demand that the presidents of your seminaries, as they do, and the boards of your seminaries, as they do, take that responsibility seriously to inquire of anyone who would teach at our seminaries of what they believe on any conceivable issue, to make sure that there be no error, that there be no heresy, that there be no lurking misconceptions that would do injury to the next generation of Christian preachers. You should not only expect, you should demand that your seminaries will do this, and will do this in order to guard what is taught for the generations yet to come. In so doing, I promise you that we are guided by the Baptist faith and message. As we envision any issue that comes before us, as we envision the hiring process and the establishment of policies within not only the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, but all of our seminaries, I can assure you we are guided by the Baptist faith and message, and gladly so. In every generation, there are issues that arise. We must anticipate that in years to come, if the Lord tarries, we'll have to come back as a denomination at some point in the future. It was 38 years between 1925 and 1963, 37 years between 1963 and the year 2000. Given the pace of change among us, it may be that there will be heresies unimaginable, false teachings not yet expected that will arise before us. And even now, there are questions that must be settled given the stewardship of the responsibility of a seminary administration and board of trustees. This denomination has adopted a trustee system because it is impossible for this convention, sitting in a plenary session like this, to interview a seminary professor. You entrust that to specific persons who hold office by your election in order to ensure that those elected by your boards of trustees at the seminaries are those who will perpetuate the faith once for all delivered to the saints. These are crucial days. All you have to do is pick up a theological journal, pick up a newspaper, or for that matter, just listen to the headlines on the news, and you'll understand that there are all kinds of issues. Some that arise next week, not even understandable this week. There are issues. The adoption of the motion last night, the motion you adopted last night, makes very clear what is emphatically true, and that is that a confession of faith is a concise summary of those things believed. There is no way that any confession of faith, no matter how long, could be coextensive with all of God's truth. The only depository of all of God's truth that is revealed to us is the Holy Scriptures. There are those who say no creed but the Bible. That makes no sense whatsoever if you're hiring a seminary professor. You must, as this convention has learned the hard way, make clear this is what we believe the Bible teaches, and without apology, this is what we expect of those who will teach in our seminaries. We are not confessionalists by accident. We are confessionalists in principle. But we are also confessionalists because we have a history, and woe unto the generation that forgets what this denomination has experienced over the last 30 years and the cost that was paid, the price that was paid to ensure that today, in the year 2007, there could be the consensus that exists in this room to affirm the Baptist faith and message. Brothers and sisters, that is God's gift to this denomination, that consensus. It is one we must prize and one we must perpetuate. Mr. Chairman, I'm glad to answer any questions which anyone may address to my report.
Thank you, Dr. Moeller. We do have time for questions, and we first recognize microphone number 12. Please give me your name, your church, and your question, please.
Yes, my name is Nathan Leno, and I am a messenger from Northeast Houston Baptist Church in Houston, Texas.
Thank you. Your question, please.
Dr. Moeller, I just have a point of clarification. If I understood you correctly, you believe the BFM 2000 is a minimal statement of what we hold to doctrinally as Southern Baptists and not an exhaustive maximum statement. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Dr. Kelly said that well last night, the president of New Orleans Seminary. It is a statement which is a concise summary of those things believed. Of course, we believe more than that, but these are the things which, by our common agreement, we would bind upon all who would teach in our seminaries, that would be the guide to be used in hiring and policy decisions by all of your entities. The Baptist Faith and Message, by the way, has been addressed by other Baptist bodies as well, including some Baptist associations and some Baptist state conventions. But in no case do we say this is all we believe. It is very, very important, for instance, and specifically in the hiring of a seminary professor, that you probe deeply. That's why we do a lengthy and very extensive interview process. That's why anyone who's been elected by the Board of Trustees must come before the appropriate body of that Board of Trustees to be interviewed by trustees, not just by your seminary presidents and administration, but by trustees themselves, to ensure that they are those to whom should be entrusted the responsibility to teach.
Thank you, sir. Number 8, microphone number 8, name, church, question, please.
Dr. Moeller, my name is Shane Hall, messenger from First Baptist Church, Clinton, Oklahoma. Just so you know where this question is coming from, I was very concerned about the fact that the motion passed last night. I believe that that could be a tool or a stick that's used to whip our, as some have said, disobedient children on those trustee boards. My concern is that it may lead to gutting our historic Baptist polity. It could lead to turning the Baptist faith and message into a 100-page document. However, in your understanding of that motion, do you feel that really is going to tie your hands on addressing issues or allowing that the trustee board there at Southern can address issues with professors in areas such as glossolalia that is not addressed by the Baptist faith and message? How do you feel that's going to play out in the next few years based off the motion that was passed last night?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That's a fascinating question, and one that is, of course, a part of denominational conversation as we awake this morning. There are persons who are asking that question. Here, I will gladly take my stand and tell you where I and where Southern Seminary understands the motion last night to instruct us. The motion says that the Baptist faith and message is to be a sufficient guide in matters related to personnel and policies, and so it should be. It's a guide, and we will gladly and humbly accept that as a guide. Not only that, we will gladly embrace it as a guide. We must go on to ask questions related to those who teach precisely because, as this messenger asked, there are issues that are not directly addressed in the Baptist faith and message that nonetheless are a matter of our accountability to the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention. There is nothing explicitly in the words of the Baptist faith and message that would prevent a seminary from hiring someone who believes that the practice of speaking in tongues, glossolalia, should be an ongoing part of Baptist worship. But I do not believe that that is the kind of professor that this convention would wish your seminaries to hire. This convention has spoken to that issue in many and various ways, and I think we know who you are and what you would expect of us. I appreciate very much the question.
Thank you. We shall move to, we have just time for one more, I think. Question number, microphone number 9. Would you give me your name, church, question, please?
Mr. President, I'm Michael Medeiros, pastor at Hickory Grove Baptist Church in Greenco Springs, Florida.
Thank you, sir. Your question.
Dr. Moeller, we have just heard a report from the Resolutions Committee. Does last night's vote on the Executive Committee statement render Southern Baptist resolutions meaningless for guidelines in hiring faculty?
And I certainly hope not. I can't believe that this convention chose corporately to act to speak to these issues just this morning and then would tell your institutions to ignore what you just said. Instead, I believe that as this convention meets and expresses its convictions by means of these resolutions, that your institution should hear them gladly and humbly and be informed by them in terms of what we teach and what we expect of those who will be invested in office to teach. Let me remind this denomination, this convention sitting here, that over the course of the last 30 years, this convention had to adopt statements on resolutions on issues not covered in the Baptist faith and message. When I became president of Southern Seminary in 1993, there was nothing in the Baptist faith and message on the issue of abortion or on the issue of homosexuality, but the Board of Trustees at Southern Seminary in 1995 adopted a comprehensive list of expectations of those who would teach, making very clear that we will hire only those who believe that abortion is the taking of innocent human life. We will hire only those who believe that homosexuality is directly addressed in Scripture as sin. There are issues addressed by your resolutions your institutions must gladly hear. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for hearing this report. Thank you for your questions. Hold your institutions accountable. We will be guided by the Baptist faith and message, and expect us to hire the very best on your behalf for those who will teach your students and the generation of those who will preach in years to come. God
bless
you.
Thank you, sir.